I started my business, there was no internet or email. And so we've constantly re-energized the business. So it's the constant learning and changes in this industry that really makes me thrive. And it also is, I've built this wonderful team, and it's just giving people, young people, careers and career paths, and watching them grow is probably the most satisfying thing that I do.
Welcome to the Learn It All podcast with your hosts, Learn It CEO, Damon Lemby, and SVP of Product, Darren Bridget. Our mission is to explore how continuous growth shapes the path to success. Our guests are high achievers who've learned there's always something new to discover. They'll share their stories, strategies, and insights with you. So whether you're a budding entrepreneur, a seasoned executive, an aspiring athlete, or simply someone who believes in the lifelong pursuit of knowledge, this podcast is for you. Join us now for the latest episode as we continue the Learn It All's journey through a world that never stops teaching.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Learn It All podcast. We are Damon Lemby, CEO of Learn It, Darren Bridget, Vice President in charge of the professional development product. And we are joined today by Dan Hernandez. If you have any interest in IT, cybersecurity, running a small business, compliance, we've got a lot of interesting things to talk about. Also from somebody who is a big time advocate of learning, Dan Hernandez. Dan, let me give them your quick bio and then we'll jump in. Dan serves as the CEO of PCS Technology, a company specializing in providing outsourced managed services with a focus on cybersecurity solutions and security as a service. You've been in business since 1989 with the goal to become the Bay Area's preeminent IT support partner for medium-sized businesses. Dan, you accomplished that. Congratulations.
Thank you so much, Sharon.
Yeah, thanks for being here.
Yeah, happy to be here. Love what you guys are doing.
Yeah, we try to make a difference in the world. And what are you excited to talk about today, Dan?
Well, definitely what's going on in the cybersecurity space, but I'm proud to also say that we currently support 40 nonprofits in the San Francisco Bay Area and helping them with their mission and not having to worry about their IT issues.
Yeah, yeah, that's brilliant. I see that you do a lot of that. It seems like particularly some work on ALS, which we can get into.
Yeah, absolutely.
We have a signature question we like to ask folks. I did bill you as a big time learner. You were talking about it yourself. What is something that you would like to learn for yourself over the next 6 months, year? What are you hoping to learn and get good at coming up in the near future?
I got a lot of things going on. So constantly learning. To me, if you're not learning, you're dying. And so I do several things. One, I travel to a few key IT security conferences a year. Mm-hmm. I also participate in a peer group of IT professionals across the country. So we're always learning from each other, best practices, things like that, how to protect people, what's coming up in cybersecurity and stuff, you know, in that world. And then I purposely try to do an audible book a week so that I'm constantly learning and growing as a person and also growing my company.
Yeah, that's brilliant. Learning for you. You love this stuff. I think I heard that this is your job. This is the only thing that you've done is IT. You know everything about IT. You've been doing it since 1989 in your own business. This is the area that you like to keep learning in.
Yeah, it was obvious back in my junior year of high school where my best friend was a genius. And the only thing I could do better than him was the data processing class we took. So I was like, that's what I'm doing. So I've been in IT so long, it used to be called data processing. And so I've gone through every stage of networks, computers, everything, my entire life. It's been, like you said, this has been my only job. I've always been an IT guy, even before I was in IT.
Dan, what is so similar to me with people ask me this question all the time, because, you know, I've been here at Learn It for, man, since 1995. I got to do the math, 29 years. People ask me this question all the time. What has kept you motivated to remain in this field?
It's the learning. It's constantly changing. You know, when I started my business, there was no internet or email. And so we've constantly re-energized the business over probably at least four or five times. And so it's the constant learning and changes in this industry that really makes me thrive in this industry. And it also is, I've built this wonderful team, and it's just giving people, young people, careers and career paths, and watching them grow is probably the most satisfying thing that I do.
That's awesome. Something that you really share with Damon. That's passion, is developing people. Any tips as a small business owner for what are your go-to keys to developing people, and maybe some things to watch out for and things to really lean into?
Over the years, it's gotten really easy for us. We actually have people coming to us to want to be a part of the PCS team. And mm-hmm. so we partner with the City College of San Francisco, and they will send us their top students. And we have an internship program where they go through 90 days of learning, and we can't hire all of them. But once you go through that internship, it's a paid internship program. And once you go through that program, you have a career in IT. So at the very minimum, we're giving a lot of people opportunities to grow and learn about this industry. And what I'm most proud of is we have a very diverse team. And it's rare in this business. And I think for me is leading by example. You know, when we have our company huddles, I share all the things that I've learned. I've been blessed to be able to see a lot of amazing speakers, having a great relationship with Damon, another CEO, somebody that we share experiences with. But also I hired a business coach this year to continue to grow. And I just felt I needed to get to the next level. And so I hired Marcus Ogden, who was referred to me by Damon, to be my coach. And I was just constantly learning. It's what we do, and that's what makes it fun. What I really enjoy is I get to just talk to people all day long. I talk to potential clients, and I talk to my customers, and then I'm out networking. Really proud to say I've just been accepted to serve on the San Francisco Giants Community Fund Board.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And I just met like all their commissioners, which is amazing. People all over the state of California that volunteer to help teach kids baseball, you know, and not only that, but other life skills. I'm also the former board president of Telegraph Hill Neighborhood Center, an incredible nonprofit here in San Francisco. And we've done so much during COVID to keep people, you know, they were helping take care of children, first responders, and really making a difference in the community.
Dan, I got to ask one more follow-up question. Do you ever get tired?
Not really. I'm the kind of guy that gets up at 5 a.m. and goes constantly. You know, it's just the way I'm built. I know some people think I'm a little nuts, but I like to get up and tackle my day. And I can't say anything negative about what's going on in our world right now, with family, friends, and business.
Yeah.
I got a question for you. I want to take it way back here. Prior to getting into IT and doing your own thing, you spent, I think, 4 or 5 years at Bain & Consulting, right?
Yeah. I was the IT manager for Bain & Company here in San Francisco. I ran their West Coast operations, and I created their first local area network back in the day. So this is the mid-late 80s, and I fought the first virus back in like 1988, that was the Jerusalem virus. And believe it or not, it was before the internet, and it was spread by floppy disks. Wow. So I talked to John McAfee. He was answering his own phone at the time, and he sent me some code to solve that problem. And yeah, so Bain was just an amazing experience. I got to work with some of the greatest business minds in this country, the top 2% of the MBAs from Stanford and Harvard. I met Mitt Romney back in the day when he was still at Bain & Company. And yeah, that's what kind of skyrocketed me to start my own business and become the person I am today.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask, is what did you learn at Bain that helped mold your leadership style as a small business owner?
Well, I was that IT guy that was hungry, and I'd come in early in the morning and reboot servers and fix things. And the president of Bain & Company at the time was in San Francisco. It was Tom Tierney. And Tom, you know, I'd be in the office at 5 a.m. and he'd make me coffee. He was very humble. And the one great thing I learned from him was one year we were so busy and successful, he gave the entire company the week off during Christmas. And I follow that today is, you know, we take the four days off for Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's. I don't let anybody work. And I build really, it's really important to give people their time for their family and friends. So that was a huge one for me. And then it really taught me how to get things done. Like I make decisions and I don't procrastinate on those decisions. So helping people move forward in their careers. And with Bain, it's like a pyramid structure where you have associates, consultants, managers, VPs. And so they have a process there that they're constantly growing their team. And that's really what I've been able to do here at PCS all these years.
Your motto is we get tasks done at PCS, yeah?
Yeah, absolutely.
You're talking about that right there. Like you kind of, a lot of that was formed working at Bain. And it didn't just mean like endless hours you pour at a problem because you're giving people time off. So what is kind of the Dan Hernandez secret to getting tasks done?
We have a culture here at PCS where we're not scared of the unknown. You know, in my IT career, I was kind of one of the leaders in IT. And so I could rip apart an office and put it back together, and I wasn't afraid of that. And my culture here at PCS is we'll figure it out. And so my team around me has that same attitude. We've taken on very large clients, 150 users with kind of a rat's nest of things going on. And we could come in and clean out that rat's nest in 90 days and improve the entire environment. And we do it with as little disruption as possible. So, you know, we're not perfect. We're people, but we work really hard to do the best we can.
What I hear you saying there, Dan, which I think is awesome, is that you've created a culture that allows space for people to try things out, make mistakes, and put trust in them, right?
Absolutely. Over the years, we have senior engineers, project managers, service managers that all started as a tier one, tier two tech. And I was always the believer that I didn't want to hire just anybody, but I wanted to hire technical people. So my service manager, push comes to shove, he's a technician. And understands that a lot of the companies like us have people that are non-technical in some of these roles, but it was really important to me that everybody was technical. So we've developed technicians to grow into other roles. And I think that's a big part of our success. At the end of the day, anybody can figure out a problem.
But what tip do you have? I work with a lot of team leaders, small business owners, and a lot of them want to jump in and just do the work themselves because they're so afraid of somebody breaking something that can't be fixed or losing a client over a mistake. And especially in the world that you're in, the IT world, where you can't really afford major mistakes. You could take down networks for a week or so. So what have you learned, I guess, and how do you go about giving people the opportunity to make mistakes without getting overly anxious, I guess?
Well, we never...
Security, right? I mean, you can't make mistakes in security.
You can't make mistakes in IT. You know, I'm proud to say we've never lost data. We've never had any major issues over the 35 years we've been in business. But the key to it for us is that when we hire new people, you won't see that new person show up to a client site by themselves. We have a shadowing program where they learn from the team on our process, how to solve problems, how we go about things before they're allowed to come in and just resolve an issue on a firewall or something where it could be they made a mistake, a really bad day for a lot of people. So the shadowing program that we have, I think, is a big part of it. And personally, I'm like the ultimate delegator. I want to teach people how to do these things. I don't want to do everything myself. And that's the attitude of everybody around us. And I think that's why we have almost no turnover. Everybody has a career path and feel like we're growing and there's going to be a lot of opportunity here. And that's rare in the IT industry. I hear a lot of my peers having problems retaining people, having problems recruiting, and we don't have any of those problems. I actually have a pipeline of people that want to work here.
It's awesome. Yeah. I mean, that lays to Damon's point. That's a hard mentality to accept. And it sounds like you have some checks and balances, but it's also natural to you to want to be able to develop people, not just micromanage them.
Yeah. In my career, even at Bain & Company back in the day, when I left that organization, a gentleman under me for 5 years got promoted to IT manager. Another gentleman on our team became a training expert. And so even back in those days, I was developing people. And I came back to Bain as a consultant through PCS when they were having some problems with staffing. And they had some equipment that needed to be replaced. And they needed someone like myself to get that done. And when I went back, it was just on a contract. And their entire help desk team just kind of grew with me as I came in and solved those problems. I got people involved. And they didn't want me to leave. And I was really, you know, made me feel really proud that these young, brilliant technicians wanted to continue to learn and grow. And I even ended up hiring one of them down the road as part of my team. But having that attitude, I think, is rare in our industry, unfortunately. A lot of IT guys want to keep that information to themselves. It kind of gives them like, you know, I'm special. I know how to do this. You don't. And to me, it's like, no, that's not how it works. You want to have everybody know how to do something. That way I can take a vacation and someone else could back me up. And likewise for them.
Some of our listeners might be out there thinking that they've got a business. They need to outsource some IT. And you've described how you run things for your organization. Obviously, you could pitch your own organization, but just as a general, what are some rules of thumb that people should follow when they're trying to choose who should I work with when it comes to IT?
I was just on a call this morning with a prospect and he has a one IT guy and he feels like they're holding him hostage. He's holding them hostage. He's the only one that knows how to put their main application on their devices. We don't do that here at PCS. So what if you're looking for a change in your IT, make sure you have somebody, either an individual or a team, that is willing to document what's going on, because I feel strongly that my clients own their equipment and their information is theirs. I'm just a support, service support for them. So we will document what's going on for the client. And at any time, we can share that with our customers. We have full documentation on how to do things. And so that's really important. But it's time to really start paying attention to your IT. I see incidences almost daily now. We used to see them like once every few months. Now we're getting calls daily on people that got phished, gave up their credentials, had a hacker get into their email system and send out hundreds of emails as that person. And it's just a really tough time in the world today of people trying to gain access to systems. And so it's time to take care of your IT and pay attention to it. So what I really recommend is if somebody's looking to make a change, hire a professional managed service provider that has tools to protect your organization. And those tools are really kind of basic to me now. One would be an advanced endpoint protection antivirus that's actually monitored 24/7 by our security operations center. So that if you do click on something, it's caught right away. And the other big one to have is some type of advanced phishing email system that blocks all those phishing emails and all those scams. So our system will identify if I got an email from Damon and it was actually a hacker impersonating Damon, my system would tell me this is not the Damon Lemby you usually work with. And so a big part of what goes on today is people get scammed out of people impersonating people, trying to change or call it the man in the middle. You know, there's somebody in your email system, they see an opportunity and they'll redirect an invoice or a wire transfer. And it's really sad when I see a large nonprofit get scammed out of $130,000 because of somebody got phished. And I see that all the time. So we really want to prevent that. And so we'll actually do a free assessment if somebody came to us and wanted to learn more about their IT. So we would provide a free security assessment. It takes 26 minutes and really help discover what your risks are. And then that way you're educated on what type of IT support you need, whether you work with us or anybody else.
I'd also like to say that you should also go see the movie, The Beekeeper, with Jason Statham, because somebody from a nonprofit got scammed out of $7 million. And let's just say that, or $2 million, but Mr. Statham took care of it. And so that's another option. But I would recommend going with managed services, but that's another one. I was just going to ask, can you talk to us a little bit about cybersecurity and overall these days and the importance of, you did a little bit, but already about protecting your assets?
Yeah, absolutely. We see the world is changing to the point where people are wanting their vendors or nonprofits to step up their game and be compliant. So a big thing that's going on, the city and county of San Francisco, and not only city and county of San Francisco, but all across the country, are starting to hold their nonprofits to be compliant, HIPAA compliant or SOC 2 compliant. And it's not only in the HIPAA and nonprofit space, but we're seeing large law firms and other types of businesses having their customers say, in order for you to service our business, you need to be compliant. Because if somebody, one of their vendors gets hacked, it could spill over to their business. So what we're doing these days is we have what we call an advanced security stack with some of the tools I just described, and that protects you and has not only protects you, your business and your data, but it also protects your team's identity, because identity theft is real. 49% of all Americans have faced some type of identity theft issue, either stolen credit card or things like that. Think about that number, right? Yeah. 65% of all email or hacking scams come from a phishing email. So a lot of people are clicking on those emails. And then, so what we do is we not only provide the tools, but we also provide education. So our clients go through security awareness training so that they're educated. And that's your weakest link, is that new employee that's gets an email from somebody impersonating the CEO and he lets the bad guy in the house. I see that all the time. And so educating people, I think it's so necessary. But, and then lastly, we have been working on something for a couple of years now to help our clients become compliant. So we have a service that we call compliance as a service. And that we work with myself and another senior person here at PCS as a security expert to walk our clients through becoming HIPAA compliant or SOC 2 compliant. And it's not for everyone. There are some costs there. But if you think about it, if you have a large contract with the Department of Health and you get breached, you're going to lose that contract. So it's really important these days to pay attention to these things.
That's great. Hey, Dan, now I'm getting a little bit scared. What about on a personal level? Do you have recommendations for folks, you know, in their personal lives?
Well, the real simple key tips here, the main one is never, ever input your username and password into a link from an email. No one will ever ask you for your username and password. So iCloud, Microsoft, all those scam phishing emails you see, if you ever click on one, it's going to go to a fake website, and that fake website is going to ask you to enter your credentials. And then once you do that, they got you. They have access to your email and who knows what else access they can gain from that. So the number one tip is just never, ever enter your username and password. You see Facebook hacks all the time. So what happens is they get a link in Messenger, comes from their friend, their brother, sister. They click on that link, and the first thing that pops up is they want your username and password.
Yeah.
People enter that, and now a hacker has access to your Facebook account. Yeah. So that's tip number one, and it's super important.
Super important.
Yeah. If you have a personal computer and you have anything valuable on it, go to Costco, get yourself a little external hard drive and back up that computer. So all your pictures and important documents, all that are backed up to this external hard drive, and then disconnect it from your computer and put it in your drawer. That way, no one has access to this. So what the hackers got really smart about 2 or 3 years ago, where they would ransomware a server or a computer, and it would be easy to roll that back. So we had ways in IT just to roll that back, and would it be a big deal? It'd just be a rough hour or something like that. Then they got really smart. And so once they ransomware and encrypted all your data, they go and delete any attached backups. Then they also, on a file server, will delete any of the shadow copy backups that are in the server. So they delete your backups, destroy all your copies, and then they got you, and you have to pay the ransom to get your data back.
Oh, I see.
So what we do here at PCS, if you're a large client of ours and you have a few file servers, is we have a separate device with separate credentials that the hacker can't see that has a local backup of all your data. And then that data is also backed up to a cloud. So we not only have that local on-site backup, but we also have a cloud backup that are impossible to reach. The local device has different credentials, and the cloud has different credentials. So if they did get into a server, we could get their data back and not have to pay the ransom. We had a non-client at one time get ransomware. It was probably a 20, 25 employee architect firm. And they opened the back door, let a hacker into their system, and we helped them afterwards. And it was on a Sunday where we needed $20,000 of Bitcoin to pay the hacker to get their data back. Who has $20,000 of Bitcoin sitting around, right? Yeah. So yeah. I had resources across the country, and a friend of mine in New Jersey, another IT company, sold me $20,000 of Bitcoin. And then we paid the ransom. And there's about 45 minutes of, oh my gosh, what did I just do? Because yeah. You paid all this money to somebody and just hoping that they give you the encryption keys to get your data back. They could just take the money and run. You have no control over this.
Yeah.
But luckily, the hacker did give us the encryption keys and we were able to restore the architect's data. But that's something you just don't want to go through. I mean, even with myself, the years of experience I have, it was nerve-wracking. So it's a process that you just don't want to experience.
Yeah, it's awful. Yeah, thanks. I'm going to go, as soon as this is done, I'm going to go talk to my wife and everybody in my family about what we need to do to stay safe. Speaking of safe, you were talking about tennis earlier. And our viewers probably don't know, Dan Hernandez is a really exceptionally good tennis player, 4.5 and top ranked in the state and I think even nationally. But he was describing his style, which is attacking the net, all over the net. You literally don't let any balls pass you. Anything that might get over the net that's anywhere near you, it doesn't come back, is what I'm hearing you say, which actually sounds like your style. In the cybersecurity space.
Yeah, I was fortunate to have three older brothers and I'm the youngest. So they made me who I am in that competitive fire because I didn't want to lose them. And so it's kind of been pounded into my DNA to just be, you know, I'm willing to take some risks. I'm willing to think out of the box. And I think that's a big part of my success. But yes, in my tennis days, I was relentless at attacking. And yeah, I played 50 years of tennis and had a lot of fun. It's a good release. If I had a bad day getting on the tennis court, I felt sorry for whoever I was playing.
Hey, Dan. So, you know, it's true. You're very competitive. But one of the things that I think is interesting about what you do, you mentioned this earlier, but also you and I talk about this quite a bit, is you kind of look at your managed services not as a zero-sum game. And what I mean by that, because you have remote clients, but you also go to these conferences and you network with essentially competitors and you share information, right? All and best time. Practices. So talk to us a little bit about that. I'm the same way as you on that, but there's so many people who are like, that's my competitor. and they shut them off. But I'm of the belief that you don't need to reinvent the wheel, and you can play fair and well with your competitors, and you can really learn from them.
Absolutely, Damon. I've been really lucky to be able to be a part of a couple of very large peer groups. One was on sales and marketing for managed service providers. I was a part of that group for 6 or 7 years, many trips across the country to peer group meetings and having the opportunity to see some amazing speakers, Buzz Aldrin, George Foreman, Jesse Itzler, and many. I could go on and on. But it was a community where we wanted to help each other. And so those of us that went through that community, and I'm still a part, I only attend their giant event once a year now, but it's all about sharing your experience. And we would sit together at breakfast and lunch and dinner, and I would share and help anybody that needed it. It was just kind of what the community was like. Now I belong to a large peer group called Evolve. And there's 10 other MSPs across the country in that group. And we share everything. We help each other. If somebody had an incident, I would get on a plane right now and go help them. And that's just the way we are. And then I've been really blessed to have a couple of incredible vendors. One is Galactic Advisors. They do our third-party assessments. We can't check our own work. So we have a third-party company do what we call a penetration test. And then we get a report and share that with our clients. And Galactic Advisors, I've become really like a VIP partner with them. I can text the CEO right now and ask any type of security questions we may have. But Bruce McCauley, the CEO of Galactic Advisors, has put me on video webinars. I've actually taught and did sales webinars for them and helping other smaller MSPs learn how to sell security services. And it's fun because when I walk through the halls of these very large IT events, everybody seems to know me. And it's just literally, I just talk to everybody and share my experience. And I, like I said, I'm not the IT guy that wants to hold everything close to the vest. I just feel there's so much opportunity for everybody that we don't need to be that guy. Yeah.
I think you answered the question I was going to ask next is, some business owners might say, well, I'm not going to share this because I could lose to them in a competitive situation, but that doesn't bug you in this case?
It seems like there's enough business out there where I don't even feel like I'm competing against anybody. I mean, the prospect I talked to today is talking to another IT guy, and it's like, go ahead. You should talk to other IT guys, but you're going to come back to me because I built a really good rapport with that person. So it's more than just taking care of their IT, but learning about their business, what they do and what they need, if they're growing, how you can support that growth, and not just worry about fixing a monitor.
Hey, Dan, this is great. I got one last question for you myself that I've been dying to ask this whole time, just because you've seen so much since 1989 here in the Bay Area through that's evolved when it comes to IT. I mean, almost like at the beginning to like where it's just so much a part of everybody's lives. And so the question is twofold. One is, what are you excited about that IT can keep doing for people? Like in the world of the future, what are you excited about? And then on the flip side of that, what are you worried about? What keeps you up at night when it comes to this new world that we all live in?
Well, the most exciting thing that's going on in my space right now is automation. So we as a company are doubling down with automation so that we can handle tasks with AI. So if we need to onboard a new employee and set up their email accounts and gain access to the different systems for that client, et cetera, we just basically hit a button, all that's done automatically. So that allows my team to not have to worry about some of those tedious tasks, but be able to focus on customer service. So that, to me, I just feel like I got to get ahead of this game and really take on automation. And I'm making investments now in that because I feel like it's the next level of IT service.
Yeah.
What keeps me up at night is just things are changing fast. There's always vulnerabilities that come up, either with a FortiGate firewall or a Cisco device. And those vulnerabilities are the way that hackers get into systems. So even though we have everything in place to protect any serious breach, there's still a constant risk out there. So it's just staying ahead of that curve is something that I think we do really well, but you just never know what new thing is going to happen. And unfortunately, North Korea, the Russians, a lot of people, China, a lot of people out there are spending a lot of resources on trying to shut down businesses. So like I said earlier, it's time to really protect your IT. You can't just ignore it anymore. You need to have systems in place to protect your systems.
Yeah, it's good. Thanks. Yeah, like I said, I'm going to talk to everybody in my family right after this call.
I highly recommend it. You know, educating people, your family and friends. I did a very successful webinar in the last year, 7 things everybody needs to know about cybersecurity. And I said, invite everybody, invite your mom, your dad, anybody that uses a computer, because these are things that people need to learn.
Yeah, it's awesome.
I got one question left for you, Dan. So obviously you've been very successful and you've been running your small business, but think back, I can put you on the spot. Think back on a decision you made that you wish you would have learned, you wish you would have done differently, and what'd you learn from it? And did that opportunity come up again?
I think the best decision I made is offshoring some of our help desk team.
No, I want to know the worst decision you made.
Oh, the worst decision I made.
I know you made a lot of great decisions, but or not your worst. But what's a bad decision you made that you learned from?
I think for me is back in the day before we became what we call managed services, we were doing what we called break fix. So our clients would break something and we'd go out and fix it. So they would pay us by the hour to do that. And I was not ahead of the curve when all these managed service providers came out. So it slowed down my growth a little bit, lost a couple of customers, and really took me about a year to catch up. So now I just got back from a large peer group meeting in Florida last week, and I came out so excited, proud, and just energized that, wow, we're like 2 years ahead of our competition. And I don't even call it competition. I misspoke there. I call it my peers. We're like 2 full years ahead of my peers. We have taken on becoming experts in cybersecurity at the next level. We provide virtual chief security officer services. We are doubling down on automation. I have a fantastic small team in the Philippines that gets the noise off my local team, and they're part of our team, part of our culture, part of our family, and they're fantastic. And so all those things people are just now starting to do, and we're just light years ahead of them. And that's what I've learned over that mistake I made several years ago.
So what it sounds like I'm hearing you say is that sometimes, or not sometimes, but you got to push the status quo. You can't be stuck in the status quo. You got to be kind of proactive. And because in your situation, it sounds like your peers, so to say, not your competitors, they got ahead of you. And that's something that you learn from to not happen again in the future.
Absolutely. That's the key takeaway in any business. You want to be ahead of your peers.
Yeah.
And to do so, is it all about learning? Is it going to these conferences and researching and getting curious?
Absolutely. You know, it's kind of taking some risks and going out and spending the time. It's a long haul to fly to Florida, and the time change and all that. There's a lot of things you can complain about, but we just suck it up and do it. And it's the best thing we ever did. I feel like for some reason, a lot of companies here on the West Coast don't do that. Mm-hmm. And they're just years behind the curve. I could see it when I talk to, like when we do a client handoff, we're just now onboarding a large nonprofit, and the company that they were not satisfied with and decided to make a change in IT to us is just so far behind, and they're not the trusted advisor anymore. So we make it a point to meet with our clients, educate them, and talk to them so that we have that credibility, so that when we do make recommendations, they don't question them. They just do it because we have that relationship.
I know we're wrapping up here in a second, but I got one very important question to ask you. Now that Duff McKagan from Guns N' Roses has joined AC/DC for the 2024 World Tour, would you say that AC/DC is going to be the best show you're going to see in 2024?
Well, it was definitely one of the best shows I saw in 2023. I did see him at Power Trip in October, and that was just an amazing time for me. I grew up listening to AC/DC as a kid. I think Highway to Hell and those, all those early albums came out when I was a freshman or sophomore in high school. And I was able to see them at the Santa Cruz Civic Auditorium, where I was in front row watching them back in the day. And Angus Young still brings that energy. The one thing I want to share with everybody is my wife and I just watched the documentary, We Are the World.
I heard it's awesome.
I saw that. Yeah, it was great, wasn't it?
We actually watched it twice.
Yeah.
Last two nights in a row. Just so touched by the giving and the sharing and helping the world.
Yeah.
And so Samantha just bought, I think, a couple of tickets to see Lionel Richie.
So
I'm really excited. Hopefully she got those tickets and we're going to go see him at the end of August. So that may be one of my best shows.
I saw him at Outside Lands a couple of years ago. He's awesome.
He came across so good in that documentary. He really seemed, he just such a.
Don't
a
give it all away, guys. I haven't seen it yet.
Okay. All right. So, yeah, this has been awesome. There's so much for people to have learned here. It kind of came full circle with the importance of learning and how much taking risks and taking some chances is part of that, building a great team, great culture. You talked about competition, and it doesn't need to be opposed to collaboration. You can be competitive and collaborative at the same time. And of course, we had so much great advice around the outsourcing IT companies, how to protect yourself, who to work with. And we learned a few extra things about you, your love of live performance, which you shared with Damon, your tennis career. Here's our last little signature question for you. What is one other thing that a lot of people don't know about you? One of the things that a lot of people don't know about you that you'd be...
Well, back in the day, I was playing against one of my best friends. We call him Coach. And we were going at it in a mixed doubles match. And I hit a forehand and tore the tendon off the bone in my elbow.
Yeah.
So I was lucky to have very successful surgery around that, but I was out of tennis for 2 years. And another really good friend of mine said, hey, you should become a professional linesman. I actually have a class going on this weekend. So I went to his one-day class. I went straight to the Challenger event for the SAP Open. So my first day as calling lines as a professional linesman was on the pro tour, which is unheard of.
Yeah.
My third day ever as a professional linesman, I was on the stadium court in Indian Wells calling lines for Andy Roddick, Roger Federer. And I did that for a few months, and it's a lot of travel and a lot of time, but it was just an amazing experience.
Wow.
And it's unheard of. All these professional linesmen are monitored and they have ratings and all this stuff. And all the raiders are coming up to me. It's like, who are you? You're not on our list. You haven't gone through all the training. How are you on this course? And it was like, John recommended me and here I am. I don't know. But yeah, I work as a professional linesman. Not a lot of people know that, but it was just a fun experience calling lines. And I remember making one call and having a 6'5 Russian player come up to me and stand right in front of me, really upset.
Yeah.
And I just, the linesman next to me, we're sitting in the chairs. He's like, don't look up. Don't look up. He's right there in front of you. But yeah, it was just a fun experience being on the court with the pros and doing all that.
Well, it's a great story, although it makes me a little sad because I know if I was ever to play tennis with you, you would beat me and I wouldn't have the excuse that you were making bad line calls. Because
that's absolutely true. I also know all the rules. To be successful in IT, you kind of have to be a rule follower. And I know all the rules of tennis. So I take that to my advantage for sure.
Dan,
well,
how can
a lot of fun, guys.
How can people get in touch with you?
You can reach me at dan@pcs.paulcharliesam-sf.com. And I'll be happy to help anybody that needs advice on IT.
Next time we'll get into the nonprofits a little bit more, because that's a lot of interesting topics that we left on the table. We'll pick it up next time. It's great to have you. Yeah,
you're awesome. Thanks for all you do at Learned. You know, we're really fortunate to have you as our IT partner.
Thank you, Damon. Take care.
Bye, everybody.